Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Roe, great leader, Roe, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, Kyle Van Noy, other guys, you know, those are the veteran kind of guys. Cheeto played so well as another veteran guy. How about Nate Wiggins? You know, go after Nate early. Nate steps up and really put the pedal to the metal and played great football. Up front, we got pressure up front. Got a few sacks. Mike Green got his first sack, but we got pressure, got him throwing the ball. I mean, the crazy throw at the end. Golly, you know, that's just a... We've had some plays like that this year, you know, so that was kind of a crazy throw. But we had him on his heels quite a bit, which was good to see. So the defense, they got the first two drives, and we stood up and we held them to field goals. That was massive. Those first two stops where they were moving the ball, kind of had their game plan, had us on our heels with the run and the boots a little bit, and we get two stops in the red zone. That gives us life. Then our offense steps up and goes and makes a 7-6, and now you got a whole new ball game. And I don't think they scored again until maybe the fourth quarter at that point. So I thought our defense was just outstanding.
Mr. Harbaugh right there saying exactly what every Bears fan was thinking, except on the other side. Bears didn't come down and score touchdowns in their first two possessions. They got, air quote, stopped. I don't know if the defense stopped them or if the Bears stopped themselves. I'm going to go ahead and say it was the Bears. Bears played better defense than the Ravens did in that situation. But again, man, yards don't cash, points do. Bears outgained the Ravens 372 to 355 and still lost by two scores because they went 1-for-3 in the red zone. And then, I mean, a costly turnover that led to another touchdown. Then, of course, 11 flags for 79 yards. That's just embarrassing. Again, at this point, 11 flags wouldn't be bad at the first game, second game, third game of the season. Not too bad. Game 7, that's an issue. Tyler Huntley, 17 for 22, had 53 yards on the ground. Was he uncomfortable at any point back there? Maybe when Montez Sweat was trying to take the ball away from him in the first drive
of the game, right. And that's it.
Outside of that, Derrick Henry, oh, you thought he was, you bet his over? You thought he was going to rush for 100 yards for sure? No. And if I told you Derrick Henry had 71 yards, you'd tell me the Bears would win. It's disgusting. But he did score twice. Romo Odunze, 7 catches for 114 yards. I mean, where's the touchdown? Right? I mean, these are the stat lines we're looking for, guys. Derrick Henry, 71 yards, great. But he had 2 touchdowns. Damn. Romo Odunze, 7 catches, 114 yards. Yay. No touchdowns. Damn. You know, it's like you're up 6-0. You finished the game 30-16. It's frustrating on many levels. And that's why I've been asking the question to you guys. What was the most frustrating part of this loss? And then if you could fix one thing by next Sunday, one thing, if you could change one thing for the Bears, what would that be for you? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bernie out in Northwest Indiana. Bernie, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on again.
You know, I think, yeah, how you doing? I haven't talked to you guys since last year.
Yeah, I remember you, though, Bernie. You got a really strong name there.
Yep. I think it's smoke and mirrors, you know, because you look at the teams that they beat, they ain't beat anybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you put the schedule in front of you, but, you know, Washington had no wide receivers. Dallas had no wide receivers, and then you beat, you know, the two worst teams in football, which are the New Orleans Saints and the Raiders. I mean, so they really haven't played anybody to be, you know what people think they are. You know, you go back to last year, they were 4-2 when they started the season, and they ended up, you know what they ended up last year.
So. Listen, Bernie, I agree with you, right? I mean, I don't think any Bears fan truly thought in their heart of hearts that the Bears were a bona fide 4-2 team. They understood that there were some last second victories against some subpar teams. And so they looked at this game. That's why the Bears weren't even favored in this game. Even though Tyler Huntley was starting, the Bears still weren't favored. So I agree with you that it was smoke and mirrors to a certain degree, but there was still a level of believability from Bears fans that, okay, we might not be a great team, but we still should be able to win this game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. The only thing that I seen yesterday, and I've seen this is becoming a trend, okay? The reason that ball was picked off down there on the 12-yard line or whatever it was, I mean, he watched Rome Odunze right off the line of scrimmage, and it's getting worse and worse and worse every game, okay? He's looking for that guy. He's not looking for anybody else, you know, and that's why Rome Odunze had, what, 142 yards yesterday or something, you know?
114, I mean, yeah.
Right, you know, so like I said, I mean, I watched him. He took that snap, and he looked right at him, and that safety watched that play, and he jumped that before he even had a chance to freaking throw the ball.
Yeah, you know, Bernie, and what I was saying was in that possession in particular, right? Bears are down 13-6. The defense did their job. Bears get the ball back on their own 4-yard line. And what Caleb Williams experiences there is a false start by his offensive line on the first play of a drive that was extremely critical. And then on the second then the second play, Kyle Manungai doesn't get outside. He only gains 2 yards. And then at that point, it's 2nd and 10, and Caleb Williams feels the pressure of the team, of the city, of Ben Johnson, and he feels like he needs to do too much in that moment, and I think that's what really got to him there.
Yeah, the false start was, you know, it was a 2-yard penalty. I mean, false starts, though, are on the quarterback. They're not on the offensive line. False starts are on the quarterback.
What?
You know, false starts are on the quarterback. You ask any coach in football, they will tell you that false starts are on the quarterback.
I'm going to push back on that one a little, Bernie. If I say the count's on 2, and then when I say hut 1, the offensive lineman jumps off, has a false start, that's not on the quarterback.
I'm telling you, you ask any coach in football, they will tell you that false starts are on the quarterback.
I'm going to ask Dave Wants that I'm going to text him when I leave here.
Yeah, ask him today.
I am. I will. I promise
ask
you I will.
Ask him today.
What were some other things that were frustrating to you, Bernie? Because this one didn't just come down to a possession or a penalty. There were a lot of things that were frustrating.
Well, I think that, you know, they go down the field and they just don't score. I mean, it's been like that all year. You know, this just isn't was in this game. You know, they've had a lot of red zone possessions. They're the worst team in football in red zone possessions for scoring. I mean, you know, that's pretty bad. I mean, there's something ain't right there, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call, Bernie. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez here with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Phone lines are open, ready for you to voice your frustration. But again, all day today, some great stuff. Of course, coming up at 5 o'clock in just under 50 minutes, Dustin Rhodes taking over. Going to fill you in on all the details you might have missed from not only the Bears game, but of course the happenings from the weekend. Then, of course, Mully and Haw after that. They have 3 guests you're going to want to make sure you're tuned in for. First is Olin Krutz, 7 o'clock, former center for the Chicago Bears. Going to have a ton of things to say. Listen, he was the one, along with Patrick Manley, in the pre- and post-game that was saying this game was on Caleb Williams. This was his game to win for this team. And unfortunately, the inconsistencies that seemed to be consistent plagued him in this one. Then TJ Edwards, it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about this depleted Bears defense. He'll be on at 8 o'clock with Mullion Hall. And then Brad Biggs, the truth teller. He will keep it as real as... Listen, the kids say keep it a buck, and that's exactly what he's going to do at 9 o'clock on this station. Then Raheemy, Harris, Grody. They got Anthony Heron jumping on at 11. Then Dan Wiederer, the other half of the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody. He'll be on at 1 o'clock. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Oh, you know they're going to have a ton to say. They got Kurt Warner jumping on the show at 3 o'clock. So it's going to be filled with a ton of goodies, and you're going to want to make sure you're here for it because this one was a frustrating one. Bears lose 30-16, a game that, you know, at the very beginning I felt confident in. I felt like the Bears should have won this one simply because, and Pat Manley said this before the game, the Bears had the better quarterback, right? Should have been Caleb Williams, who was better than Tyler Huntley, therefore leading you down and getting a victory for the Bears. 5-2 would have been great going into Cincy. You would have felt good about the last half of the season and where you might have been comfortable dropping certain games. And again, you got to think about where you wanted this Bears team to be at the beginning of the season. Did you think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Did you think they were going to take the North and never give it back this year? No.
Those words are scarring me.
I mean, they're just foolish words that foolish people say when they come into new jobs. But again, you didn't think they were going to win the North. You didn't think they were going to win a Super Bowl. So you just wanted Ben Johnson to right the ship. And at 4-2, you felt that they were like the Carlos Boozer of teams in the NFL. Oh, you don't know that reference? It is the worst of the best and the best of the worst. That's what Carlos Boozer was for me in my mind, right? He could put up 20-10 with the best of them, but he was like the worst 20-10 guy. And then when you look at all the bums, you know, or the bottom half of the league, he was better than all of those guys. And that's where you felt like the Bears were at 4-2. They weren't competing with, you know, the best teams in the league, but they're beating the Raiders. They're beating the Dallas Cowboys. They're beating the New Orleans Saints. All right? They're the best of the best of the worst of the best. But then a game like this says you should have won this one if you were in that. And so the reality check that hits you in the face hard is that the Bears aren't that. That the Bears still have so much space to grow, and you're not sure where that growth needs to come because you want to look simply at Caleb Williams. I know. It's not what you want to hear. But 25 for 38, 13 missed throws, that's a lot. 38 passes, that's a lot. Got the interception, the poorly timed one. No passing touchdowns? I mean...
For the second straight week.
I mean, come on. Put him on your back. At least once. DeAndre Swift, 11 carries for 45 yards. A far cry from what he'd done in previous weeks.
156 since the bye, averaging.
I mean, come on. DeAndre Swift, 2 catches. One of them was for 25 yards. 2 catches for 26 yards. Okay? Are we like, come on. I understand you can't just draw it up the way you want to draw it up, but damn. Romo Dunze, 10 targets, 7 catches for a buck 14. DJ Moore, 7 targets, 4 catches for 73 with that long 42-yarder, the one-handed catch. Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet's not here. This is supposed to be a breakout game. 3 catches for 38 yards. Oh, you want to know what the Ravens were allowing on average to tight ends? 6.5 catches and 67 yards on average. Colston Loveland, your number 10 pick, supposed to get busy. Tell me again how he's as good as Tyler Warren and that we haven't seen enough from him yet. There's not enough big enough sample size. BS, I say to that.
Cue the Jeopardy music on that one.
BS, I say to that. It's okay, Bears fans, to admit that Colston Loveland is not as good as Tyler Warren. It's okay. He wasn't as good going into the draft, and he's not good 7 games into the season. It's okay. Bears messed up. They outthunked themselves. Alamide Zaccheaus, dealing with the knee injury at the end of the game, as Ben Johnson pointed out, 7 catches for 33 yards. Like, what are we talking about? Is this like the 2009 Bears where every quarterback can only throw for 6 yards? 7 catches for 33 yards? That's wild. DeAndre Swift, 2 for 26, as mentioned, and Devin Duvernay, 1 catch for 2 yards. Oh, yeah, the one that was 1 yard short of the end zone. That was brutal, by the way. Luther Burden,
One catch for minus 1 yard. I mean, you want to talk about frustration. You want to talk about, you know, where does your frustration lie? In the offense. Inability to put up touchdowns in the red zone. Inability to have sustained drives in the second and third quarter. And then the untimed, poor interception throw from Caleb Williams. I don't blame too much of it on the defense. You don't have Jalen Johnson or Tyreek Stevenson or Kyler Gordon. Jeez. You got Nate McCloud out there trying his hardest to guard Zay Flowers, the speedster. Just a recipe for disaster. A lot of frustrating moments. Curious what those are for you. Again, Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Would love to hear the one thing you would love the Bears to fix by next week. And I mean, geez, there's so many things you could point to. But this was a frustrating game nonetheless. Rome gave you 114. DJ had that late bomb. Swift had the tutty at the very end, but still lost by 16 points because the operation sputtered when it mattered most. It's just frustrating. Tyler Huntley looked comfortable back there. 77% completion. I mean, come on. Come on. Come on. A guy wasn't even on their team at the beginning of the season. But I get it, right? Like, that's what happens when you're trying to put duct tape on your cornerback room. But where's the fifth round draft pick? Got hurt, right? Zach Frazier?
Shamar Turner got hurt too.
Shamar Turner looked big, by the way.
First series, I think.
Yeah.
Left the game.
It's just frustrating. All right, I want to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. I'm frustrated. I know you are. Where does that frustration come from for you? I want to know what the most frustrating part about this game was. And then if you could fix one thing about this Bears team before Sunday's matchup against the Bengals, what would that be? 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a young guy explaining, trying to explain his mistakes, and obviously he's got to go back and watch the film and see it. But you're backed up, you're in the end zone, right? It's 2nd and 9. Take the check down to Monunga, right? And the ball was late,
yes,
it was behind Rome, and it just was not a good pass at the time, right? And just kind of, we got to cut the penalties and all the things that you do have to say there, but. Just sounds to me like a guy who's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Struggling
it does.
A little
it definitely
bit.
Definitely does, yeah.
Struggling to explain it a little bit.
Bears lose to the Baltimore Ravens 30-16. They fall to 4-3 on the season. That was Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully on the post-game show talking about the Bears' loss. And, you know, Olin is a... Olin keeps real, and that's what I love about him and listening to him. And, you know, he's voicing his frustration. And again, that's the same thing we want you guys to do. Got about 35 minutes left in the show. Would love to hear your thoughts where you are most frustrated. 312-644-6767. Want to get your phone calls before I hand it over to Dustin Rhodes, who's taking over with the pregame show. And then, of course, Mully and Hall. They got Olin Krutz, TJ Edwards, and Brad Biggs at 7, 8, and 9. Raheem Harrison Grody got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes have Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock today, of course. It's all part of our Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Now, he talked about, you know, obviously all the issues Caleb was dealing with. And Caleb talked to the media as well. And first he talked about, which I thought was interesting, the lessons that he learned from this game.
A lesson for myself is find just throughout the week, practice week, or even in games, if you know, the momentum, or if we got to find a way to get an end zone, and we got to find a way to stop the bleeding when you start bleeding. And I think I can do a better job with that, helping out and leading these guys. Awesome. Thank you. The best.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done. Right, in those situations, but there needs to be something. There needs to be some sort of growth that we are experiencing as Bears fans when looking at Caleb Williams. Because my biggest statement, my biggest takeaway from this Bears game is that the ceiling that once existed for Caleb Williams is just a few feet lower than it was after yesterday's game. I experienced that game and thought to myself, damn, I had Caleb Williams' ceiling just like super high, super high. And then I just said to myself, okay, Gabe, you got to come down just a little bit from those expectations that you're placing on Caleb Williams. That ceiling, maybe it isn't as high as you once thought. Still high. Still think there's plenty of room for growth and still think Caleb Williams can grow immensely. However, the height to which I think he can grow is just a little lower. And that's okay. I think that's fine. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Robert out in Milwaukee. Robert, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm up really early. But I live in Milwaukee, so I'm going to hear the Go Pack Go chant all day.
All right, so but talk to me about this Bears team after yesterday's game. Are you still frustrated, or what you think about them?
He's definitely frustrated, but at the same time, I mean, there's plenty of big time coaches that had the pause button on Caleb being, you know, a project, and perhaps he's just a little bit more of a project than we thought. I mean, yes, there's flashes. I was worried just seeing this game after the bye week. I thought maybe his footwork was off, you know, him being more one of those players where he needs more of those reps. He needs reps. So after the bye week, he was, you know, a little rusty. I thought maybe he'd shake it off this week, and it still didn't. You know, you falling back into bad tendencies and not being consistent as perhaps, you know, Ben Johnson wants in his system. But it's one of those things where it's frustrating. I think the coach is doing a great job, though, offensively. Players are getting open. There's opportunities. There's a lot of missed opportunities, which I'm sure hopefully other Bears fans and everybody sees. But as far as Caleb goes, it might be a little longer to see what potential he has once he starts clicking in a system that he's not used to, especially without those repetitions. And I honestly, I defend myself as a Bear fan up in Wisconsin by saying I consider this his true rookie year. Because last year there was not much to be gained other than him,
fair,
you know, living on the edge and instinct. So that's kind of where it's hopeful for me in year two, three. So now year three next year, maybe it'll be better. Or end of the season, we're looking for some growth.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Robert. Because the fact of the matter is, it wasn't like the. I mean, listen, the score says otherwise, but the Bears weren't dominated in this game.
Yeah,
it's not like the Ravens threw for 250, 300 yards in the air. He only had a 186, Tyler Huntley did. It's not as though Derrick Henry ran for 150 yards on the Bears. He only had 71. It's not like the defense created tons of turnovers for the Ravens. They just had the one interception in the fourth quarter, a costly one. So it's not as though the Bears dominated. It's just a matter of capitalization, right? They capitalized on their moments. The Bears, unfortunately, didn't. And tonight, yesterday, it felt like a test that they prepared for, but then they just, you know, froze on their pressure in some of those moments. And we as Bears fans want to be able to say, hey, Caleb, we know you still have it. We know you're still capable. But it's games like yesterday where he had an opportunity down 13-6 or 16-13, down 16-13 with the ball and an opportunity to go down and, you know, add to the legend of Caleb Williams. And, you know, it starts off with a false start. I mean, come on, right? First play of the game, holding on the kickoff. Like, come on, you know? Like, can I see a Bears game where they're not shooting themselves in the foot? Can I just see a regular game instead of the Bears playing against themselves and the opposing team? Those are the frustrating moments. But the fact of the matter is this, Robert. If you have a top quarterback in the league, you should be able to win despite all of that. You should be able to win despite the penalties, despite the lackluster performance, despite the injuries on defense, when given an opportunity. And that's exactly what the Bears were given. 16-13, fourth quarter, ball in their hands. Go ahead and handle business, Caleb Williams. And I think that, to me, was the part where I was the most frustrated.
Yeah, no, that definitely is. But I like your explanation of it wasn't a total domination for the Ravens. That'll make me feel a little bit better today with going against the Packers, go Pack, go champs.
But, oof. I mean, you're talking about frustration. Like, even the last 2 minutes, right, where the Bears could have just put up one more touchdown. It just looked, it looked elementary. It looked like you're watching high schoolers.
I had a coach who would always emphasize the TNT, the take no talents, and I'm sure Ben Johnson's that way too, but it's like there's certain things that just have to stop. But I mean, this is why, you know, teams lose, and this is a, you know, definition, I wouldn't say of a bad team, but a struggling bad team that can't win those games.
Yeah. And with an opportunity to prove otherwise, right? At 4-2, no one thought that the Bears were this amazing team that was going to go on this amazing run. You just were cautiously optimistic about the Bears at 4-2.
Yeah.
And you thought to yourself, okay, Lamar Jackson's not playing. Well, hell, this will be great if the Bears can be 5-2 and find some luck at, you know, as the season winds down and maybe find yourself in a playoff hunt. But when you lose a game like this, you really just hold a big sign up to the rest of the league and says, we are not serious about who we are. We are not as good as Ben Johnson's locker room post-game yelling. This is not good, better, best, because there was none of that in this game. You know, just that's the part that's the most frustrating. But, Robert, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for calling in for that first time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Of course. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you for about another half an hour, taking your phone calls, letting you vent. First couple of hours, Tyler Ferengar producing today, we laid out the therapist couch. And we let you sit on it. But, you know, what we learned throughout the day, or the evening, I should say, or the morning, is that, you know, their strength of victories haven't been as impressive as we thought they were either.
Nope. And, Gabe, I have a couple here for you. Would you like to take a guess what the Bears rank in the NFC in terms of strength of victory?
This means that the victories that they've had, how strong they are, right? I'm just trying to get the metric down.
So, like, the winning percentage of the teams that they've beaten so far this year, collectively.
So I'm supposed to tell you where they rank in the NFC North?
So I'll give you their strength of victory, which is 317.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you think that ranks first in the NFC?
What? Last.
It's actually not last.
Okay.
It's 11th.
Oh, in the NFC.
In the NFC, it's 11th.
Okay. Okay.
Which, still not great.
15 teams. You're right at the bottom right there. Okay.
What do you think they rank in the NFL? Now, you know, that they rank 11th in the NFC.
Right. So you got to be like 22nd. I would just casually
25th.
Guess. Okay. So basically what you're saying is not good victories.
Not good victories.
Not good victories. And this could have been one against a Lamar Jackson-less led Ravens team that wouldn't have made a better case for them. But
all of the teams that are above them, because right now they are slotted 8th in the NFC, the next closest team that's ahead of them is the Seahawks at 389.
Okay. Okay.
That's kind of a steep uphill climb,
but the
though.
Seahawks, you look at them and you're like, Sam Darnold, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you know, like they you feel like they have a decent team.
They've beaten some good teams, but when you look at that objective, 389 to 317, that's a pretty steep gap between those two.
Are the Bears better than the Seahawks?
No, that's the next team.
No. Oh, this is just the Bears regular conversation.
This year?
Just a regular question. No. It's amongst two friends.
No.
All right. I think yesterday proved that as well. All right, 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Jason out in Manuka. Jason, welcome to the show. Where is your frustration at with this team?
Thanks again for taking my call, Gabe.
Always.
My frustration, I guess my biggest frustration from yesterday's game was the two top opportunities that the Bears had to get the ball out of bounds, time running out on Caleb's not being able to make it, and then DJ Moore. I think that was even more egregious than Caleb's. I mean, he was at the sideline and just wouldn't go out of bounds. I mean, that saves them probably at least 40 seconds, it seems like, on that last drive. And I guess my next frustration is the fact that we drafted Roma Dunze with the 9th pick, and he was known to make the difficult catch in college. And I don't know that I've seen him make a difficult catch other than the one that they called back last week that they could have, you know, that would have been a touchdown. I mean, every time he has an opportunity to make something, whether it's at the sideline, like Caleb rolling out yesterday and just, you know, not making that play. Too many times, you know, he throws it up to him. He doesn't come down with it. They're able to knock it out of the hands. And I don't know if that's because, you know, players in the NFL are just so much stronger than they were in college. And maybe he's just not quite up to the strength level that he's going to be in year three or four of his young career. And then I guess you also asked is, you know, what can I fix before next week?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be before next week, but that first drive was an indication that the Bears just do not have an NFL caliber left tackle. When he, and I know he's an undrafted, you know, lineman.
Yeah.
And now he's being forced to play left tackle in the NFL. When he just swiped his hands out of the way and dropped Caleb for a sack on that first one, yeah. I think it just showed where you're looking at. And then not to mention, there was, you know, you talk, I guess I want to ask you, that false start, was that the phantom false start on Dooney, his first of the year?
I know people.
The announcer said, "I don't see a movement."
I think the camera angle just got there late because I do know which one you're talking about, and I feel like there was movement. But when they showed the replay, like the false start had already happened, and he had corrected for it, and so you just didn't see it at the tail end of that offensive sequence. But I hear you, Jason. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You bring up some great points. You know, DJ Moore running out of bounds. Certainly, I mean, could have saved you some seconds, but then you're hoping for the onside kick, the recovery, and then another touchdown just to tie it, which I think is, you know, obviously tough. I think the sequencing from the very beginning on that first drive, I mean, listen, it was a 13-play, 8-minute drive. That's wild for a first drive of the game to get, you know, you're taking off 8 minutes from the clock and then only get 3 points on the board. It's tough, right? But there was some damning moments there, right? When the Bears had the ball at the 8-yard line, 3rd and 1, the play before that, Caleb couldn't get the first down. So on 3rd and 1, what happens? False start. That's the one you're mentioning. And then, of course, Caleb converts with Roma Dunze for 7 yards and get the first down. You're on the Baltimore 6-yard line. First and goal from the 6, guys. That should be a touchdown. You have an 8-minute drive, 64 yards. You are trying to impose your will on a team that it was without their starting quarterback. You are trying to create pressure for Tyler Huntley. But what I think here is, this is a moment where first and goal on the 6-yard line. Listen, I get it. You want to pound the rock. I get it. I'm here for it. But you can't pound the rock every single time you're in within 10 yards of the end zone. You can't. You have to switch it up. You're the king of keeping defenses off balance, and you can't tell me that all we're going to do is pound the rock, especially when you're pounding with a little guy like DeAndre Swift and then a little guy like Kyle Manunga. Like, I get it. It's worked. You feel good about it, but you can't lean at it the whole time. And so the Bears are on 1st and goal on the 6, first play, rush up the middle with DeAndre Swift for 3 yards, which I feel like is what we see every single time DeAndre Swift gets the ball within the 10 or 15-yard line, or the red zone, let's just say. Then Kyle Manunga gets 2-yard loss. Come on. Then third down, Caleb Williams gets the sack. So you just ruin an opportunity. Just inefficient offense right there by the Chicago Bears. And again, I've been saying it. The other thing he said right before he got off the phone was Rome Odunze and not going up to get the ball. I'll tell you my stats that I rattled off on the Chicago lead last week. Rome Odunze led FBS in deep catches and deep yards. He was second in FBS in catches over 20 yards and had a 75% jump ball success rate. Have you seen that translate to the NFL yet? And I'm not talking about because he can or cannot do it. It's because he's not given the opportunity to do so. Again, these are the frustrations that I have. I'm curious what yours are. We got one more segment. I would love to take your phone calls. Russ, I'm going to get to you right after the break. You're going to be my first phone call. But if you got something to get off your chest, now is the time. 312-644-6767. Of course, you listen to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your calls and the rest of the lineup for today coming up next right here on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
I think it just we got to emphasize it more. I think that's what it comes down to. I think being able to emphasize it more, I think being able to talk about it more, figure it out, is where we're at. Just find a solution on why and find a solution to stop it, because it's hurting us as an offense and as a team.
Finding a solution to why, that's a hell of an understatement. Gabe Ramirez here with you on 670 The Score. I'm in my fourth quarter stretch right now. Hopefully I don't throw an interception. Damn, that was unnecessary. I don't even
You're
know.
Not attempting a QB sneak here too, are you?
Tyler, I do not know why I said that. That was very rude. And that is not my MO. I'm a nice guy. But I am taking your phone calls before I get out of here. Again, 312-644-6767, and I do want to remind you guys that next Sunday you could join The Score at Revolution Brewing, 3340 North Kedzie Avenue. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully are going to host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Cincinnati. Again, Revolution Brewing, make sure you're there for it. It's going to be a good one. Hopefully it'll be better than this, man. Joe Flacco is out here just, I mean, it's funny because I've seen all the memes where they're like, he's running the offense the way Joe Burrow should, where you just throw the ball to Jamar Chase, and when he's not open, you throw it to T. Higgins. It's very simple. And then when they don't put eight in the box, you hand it off to Chase Brown. It's very, very simple offense. Seems about right. But Bears struggling with theirs. Unfortunately, can't put points on the board. Going to need to against Cincinnati. But I'm curious. I've had my frustrations throughout the day, throughout the evening. I said, you know, my ceiling for Caleb Williams has come down a bit. No, I'm not saying he's a bust or anything like that. I'm just saying what my expectations were, which were very high, and the ceiling was very high. I've just, you know, realistically pulled it down just a little bit, you know? Just covered up the piping on the ceiling and just did a drop ceiling with the little popcorn little you dig, and then that's where it's at now. And I'm curious what your frustrations are. And maybe some things you would do to this Bears team before next week when they face the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's go out to Russ out in Palos Heights. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
As always.
Caleb has been an improv quarterback since he was about 11 or 12. Ben Johnson comes in, and he wants structure, he wants detail, he wants timing. He doesn't get that. When a field gets short in the passing game, like in the red zone, you need timing. They don't have timing. Caleb waits until he tries to find somebody open to throw the ball. It's no wonder there's no success with the passing game. I don't know if we've ever seen Caleb throw a ball before a guy has cut in order to drop the ball in his hands. Has he ever done that, Gabe? Do you ever notice that?
I will say this, because first off, I want to point out the fact that you're making a great point that Caleb's definitely an improvisational quarterback, where Ben Johnson wants things rigid and is systematic. That I couldn't agree on. The not being able to throw the ball, I definitely saw one yesterday where Roma Dunze was trying to make a cut. I think it was like a 5-yard out, and Caleb found him before Rome had even made his cut. The ball was already out of his hands. And I noticed it only because I don't see it often, Russ. I just wanted to point that out. So it's something that you don't see often and you want more of when it comes to Caleb Williams, right? Just, I'm going to drop back. I know where this is supposed to be. We saw like a 10-yard out from DJ Moore where he was heading out of bounds. The ball went over his head. And I feel like majority of quarterbacks in the NFL complete that pass and have the guy running out of bounds. I see it all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, just frustrating in those moments when that happens. But so were you already feeling a certain type of way about Caleb, or do you feel like your ceiling for him has dropped a bit too after this last game?
Yeah, well, I think his you're right about the ceiling that has dropped. I think that Ben Johnson has to be interviewed and asked about how he's improving, and he's quite frankly better not be a lie detector too close, because I think Ben is going to get caught telling a fib, because I don't think he's seen enough progress. I think that if they don't show enough progress with Caleb, they've got to make a move, not 2 years from now, but the end of this year.
Yeah, somebody said that a little earlier, where that could it be a Jared Goff situation with Sean McVay, where 2 years from now, you know, the number one quarterback doesn't necessarily fit into his system and, you know, he might move in a different direction. I don't know if we're there yet, because I do think Ben Johnson came to Chicago with the hopes of making Caleb Williams his quarterback for, you know, the foreseeable future. But there are some things here. And I will say this also, you know, Ben Johnson, he might not answer the question at all because he might not like it. he might just give you a smug look and then just kind of shoo you off, Russ. That might be what happens there.
I would think that the fans are going to be in an uproar if we end up with another upside down season, wins and losses here.
Well,
for sure. I don't think they're going to wait.
Yeah, that's why you pay Ben Johnson the big dollars, so that way he can coach the team. And hopefully it's not something where he's saying, I don't have enough talent on the roster, because I don't feel like he feels that way. I feel like he feels like he has ample talent. It's just a matter of getting them to play the way he wants them to play. You saw his frustration in that last drive, despite the fact that the game was out of hand. He was frustrated at his quarterback's inability to execute the offense, the inability to put points on the board, even though the game was out of reach. You still want to look capable and competent, and that's something that the Bears lacked far too much during that last game. And that's why they ended up falling 30-16 to the Baltimore Ravens. But we will talk about it all day today on 670. The Score, of course, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And coming up next, Dustin Rhodes taking over at 5 o'clock. And then, of course, after that, Mully and Hall. Some great guests lined up for you. Got Olin Kreutz at 7. Can't wait to hear that. TJ Edwards will be on the show at 8, and then Brad Biggs will jump on at 9 o'clock. Then, of course, Raheemy, Harris, Grody. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer coming on today at 11 and 1, respectively. Then Spiegel and Holmes ready to take you home on that drive to the crib. They got Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock, so make sure you're here for that one. I want to thank Tyler Ferengall for handling producer duties today. Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. And it stuck, by the way. But it's always weird when I give you that cue to play the last clip, and then it's me talking in the last clip. Because if you don't know, it's kind of like we're still doing the same bit. But It wasn't. It was actually a little bit different. All right, this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can catch me on CHSN, the Chicago Lead. And then next Saturday, the Chicago Fire, their second playoff game. I'll be hosting that one as well. All right, mi gente, hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.